Ask a question.
What do you honestly take from all of this?
What
do you honestly take from all of this?
From what?
From the experience. Well, I already let one cat out of the bag. From this planet. What do you truly take? Me, I say, experiences, friends, and family. Tell me something more.
Well, first of all, you actually won't take any of that with you. Everything in this life is contained in this life. So you can have lots of experiences, you can make lots of money, you can collect lots of things, you can have friends and family. But when you die, there's another realm, and there's a spiritual realm. So nothing you can take with you. Everything remains here. And the only thing
that's like reincarnation.
No, it's not reincarnation at all.
Because if you can't take an experience with you, then you just reincarnate.
Yeah, no. Well, when I say...
How can you not...
When I say not... I don't know how your definition of experience is. I don't know. I haven't gone on the other side yet. I don't know
what... Me and you talking right now is an experience.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that.
I don't know what remembrance you'll have when you die. And you stand before God. I don't know what remembrance you'll have of this earth. So when I say you can't take any experiences with you, you are an intellect. God created you that way. So there may be things that you've experienced that you can take with you. But here's the thing. You won't take them with you to enjoy them. It's either going to be eternity with the Creator who Christ redeemed and Christ redeemed you, or separation and weeping and gnashing of teeth, and those experiences aren't going to mean anything beyond that. So the whole thing is, Jesus said this. He said, and I believe he was fully God, fully man. No one's proved him wrong yet. He's the only one that's rose again. All the rest of them are dead in the grave in powder, and he's coming back again. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his soul? So the soul is the most valuable thing that you have, not your experiences, not your friends, not your family. So that should be the focus, because you can experience everything on this earth, but when you die, that's over, and then you face eternity, and it's either heaven or hell, in or out, light and darkness, joy or suffering. That's what's going to be. And that's my job, to go and tell people that. Because see, a lot of people have created what do they call it? Nirvana. A lot of people have created their own, like, well, man, I'm not against Jesus. He's cool. I'm not into that Satan stuff. I kind of got my stuff like right in the middle. I'm like, there is no middle. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. He said, I'm the only way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So people try to go through Buddhism, Hinduism, New Age. And I need to say this to you. I don't believe in, teach, or promote any of these Christian religions. I'm not of any flavor. Christ wasn't Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Anabaptist, Mormon, Jehovah Witness. These are all man-made inventions. I teach the Word of God, the gospel from the Scriptures. The Word of God is eternal. All the rest of this is a bunch of man-made traditions.
Well, so does everybody else with books.
Well... Well, when you say so is everyone else's books, actually, I don't know which books you're talking about.
You know what?
The linchpin is Jesus. Who is Jesus?
Maybe I should rephrase it. So I go to see the pyramids.
Okay.
I witness
mm-hmm.
the pyramids.
Sure.
That's an experience.
Sure, it's an experience. What will it do for you in eternity?
So
nothing.
Do I take that experience with me?
I can't tell you that. If you make it into eternity and you're turned away and you go to weeping and gnashing of teeth, I really highly doubt that you're going to be savoring your experience going to the pyramids as you're suffering in eternal hell for eternity. I don't think you're going to. That's not going to mean nothing.
Well, see,
that's not going to mean nothing.
The difference between, see, people go to their church for unanswered questions and to feel better about their
there's a lot of false reasons to go, yeah, because those are man-made inventions.
I'm like, hey, I don't need it because I'm in it every day. Yeah. There's not a choice I don't make without the power of my soul knowing, is this good intention or is this bad intention?
But see, the difference is, again, I don't support the church systems. God didn't ordain them. Those are all made of man. The difference is, when you talk about the power, there is not a power in the universe. That power, or a separate power in the universe. The power in the universe is Christ, who is God, and there is no separate power. So a lot of people have like a consciousness, an aura. I actually have a daughter who was gone before I was ever even born again, and she's a New Ager, and her power is the power from the earth and Gaia and New Ageism. And these are all satanic and false, and Christ is the only way that you're going to ever enter into the eternity that he went to secure for us. And everything else, all your experiences, whether they're good or bad, are going to be meaningless. Here's the key, ready? Unless your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. If Jesus truly is God, this is the hinge for you.
Wouldn't that be bad for Christ, though?
Wait, this is the hinge for you, ready? I always tell people, I tell Muslims this, I tell New Agers this, I tell Buddhists this, I tell everybody this. Who is Jesus Christ? He's either Lord, I believe he's Lord, or he's a lunatic and a liar. And men have to decide, no, he's not Lord. If he's not Lord, he says he was God. He says he's the only way. He's a lunatic and a liar. If he's not God, throw away everything he ever said, because he's a nutcase. And you should just go live any way you want and find your own nirvana. But if he is true and he is the Lord and everything he said is true, now there's going to come a day of reckoning. So I always leave people with, I hope that they ponder this, who is Jesus Christ? Because his life split time in half. The Bible's the most documented book in all of human antiquity. 24,000 ancient manuscripts back up the Bible. The next closest thing in man's writings is 700 pages or 700 manuscripts. A book called Homer's Iliad has 700 manuscripts. The Bible has 23,000. The Bible is historically accurate, scientifically accurate. The world is headed right to where the Bible said it would go. Revelation says...
They've been saying that for decades.
Of course they have. But the Bible predicted a long time ago, and it hasn't come to pass yet. The Bible says in the last days there'll be a numbering system, and everyone will take the number and the mark of the beast and look at. We have the power to do that now. We have the numbering. COVID, what you saw COVID was not the mark of the beast. COVID was not the end of times, but COVID was a trial run of the evil in the world moving us towards a one world system. And here's the linchpin, ready?
A virus doesn't care about your religion or your politics or anything.
That's true. Here's the linchpin,
God
ready?
God made it.
Yeah.
Doesn't care.
I don't know about God made it, but he certainly allowed
it.
China made it, but anyway.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
It.
But he allows
just
it.
Like
but
the flu
here's
or
the thing.
Else,
when
it doesn't care about your religion or your politics or your beliefs or anything.
Everything's going to keep going on just the way it is. Here's when you should really consider the world is really at the brink of the Antichrist control. Do you know what that is? It's when all freedom can be taken away and they can shut you off. Digital currency. When the world goes cashless, which is I don't know how soon they're going to do it, but they're definitely hurtling towards it. When they go cashless, China is the model right now. In China, they pretty much tell you where to live, how many kids to have, what park to go to, how many hours a week, what job to work at, when you can go for walks. And if you do all that, and they monitor you with cameras, computers, chips, if you do all that, ding, at the end of the month, you get bonuses in your little money account. If you don't do it, they take it away. That's the model for the new world order that's coming. And so when they get this crypto,
now
you and I have freedom with cash. When they get crypto, they'll control us and they can shut us off in an instant.
Actually, crypto was the
digital currency might be the better word. Well, digital currency is what I'm talking about.
I like that.
Crypto is different.
Like
digital
that.
Currency, which I think crypto is digital currency, but they're going to go to a digital currency.
Why crypto started is because they knew they were going to go to the digital age currency.
Yeah, it's coming.
So
they
were saying, hey, screw you. We're still going to have cash as king.
Yeah.
So that's why crypto got started.
But there's a reason to believe in the Bible, because the Bible actually predicts that Russia, China, Israel, Iran will be the powers at the end.
Yeah.
And it predicts that they'll be coming against Israel. That's exactly what we have today.
Well,
the Bible
predicted
that thousands of years ago. The Bible predicted that thousands of years ago. It's absolutely in the Bible. And
a lot of Nostradamuses that were wrong, too.
No, not one. Ooh,
yeah.
Nostradamus?
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't biblical. Nostradamus was a mystic and a seer. He's not.
But he was.
He had nothing to do with the Bible.
Touch.
He had nothing to do with the Bible. He was a cult.
But he spot on.
Yeah, on everything. Satan can tell the future, but he wasn't spot on everything. On. I'm talking about biblical prophecy. It's absolutely accurate. The Bible's never been able to be refuted. In fact, you retired early. I don't know how much money you have. If you could refute the Bible and prove it wrong, you'd be richer than Elon Musk.
Oh, right.
If you could. Nobody's been able to do it. So Christ is the narrow way. You have to deal with who he is.
If I could make a pill that could cure a hangover, too, you know?
No, this is different. This is different because, the Bible is absolutely, like I said, it's the Word of God. It comes down to who is Christ. He shed his blood to cleanse you, and he rose again to defeat death for you. Death's coming for you. You just mentioned you're going to go do a medical exam. They could find out you have cancer, and you could have a year to live, and you'll be dead. And then you'll be powder. And what's going to happen? Your soul lives eternal. And then everything that you've experienced and friends and family are going to mean nothing in eternity. So I love you enough to tell you that truth. It's going to mean nothing in eternity.
I strongly disagree.
Yeah, but
okay.
When you're in weeping and gnashing of teeth, you won't care.
You're probably against abortion, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. With that said, I can't take it with me?
You can't take what with you?
I just died. I can't take my friends and family with me.
No, you can't. Maybe in a memory, a thought from the past, but that's not physically taking them with you. Yeah, you're not going to be able to.
But that's what... Okay, eventually they're going to die. They're not going to have...
Yeah, it won't mean anything. See, and what that is...
That's what you take.
Yeah, what that is see, I was just witnessing to a guy at a produce stand as we drove through town. I was sharing with him about idolatry. And most people think idolatry is like if you make a golden calf and then you bow down and you worship it. That's idolatry. The Israelites did that and God destroyed them for it. But idolatry is also whatever you lift up above God. So here's idolatry. Money for most people is idolatry. Perversion is idolatry in this country. Materialism is idolatry. Pride and vanity is idolatry. Everything that people lift up way above God is idolatry. And so what's happened in America is that America never was a Christian nation. It was always a pagan, pseudo-Christian nation, name only. But it's gotten much worse. And the wrath of God is going to come, the Bible says, for all disobedience. And Christ came as a baby in a manger to be that sacrifice for us. But he's coming next time as a angry lion, a fiery lion. And he's going to judge the world in righteousness.
Sorry, I'm still on the what you take with you. But you're right. Because if you put it into real word sentence... Yeah, you can. Well, okay, I die. I'm not taking someone with me.
Right.
But I should be more of, no, it's I procreated. Had I not, I would have never taken that with me.
Well, I disagree that you'll take it with you because.
Well, I agree with you. You're not taking it.
Yeah.
But you are taking it just as much as the experience.
What I was going with was the idolatry is if
you're not taking your money with you, you're not taking your house.
If we look at our parents,
all these.
If we look at our parents and our friends and our families and we look at them and we consider them more than we consider God, we're idolaters. And actually, Jesus said in Matthew 22.
Who did Jesus hang out with?
Jesus said in Matthew 22, unless you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he said, unless you do that, you're an idolater. So loving God is this. Ready? Loving God, the churches have deceived people for decades. They never were biblical. Roman Catholic all the way down. They never were biblical. Read the scriptures if you don't want to be deceived. Here's how you love God. You obey him. Keep his commandments. Most people have a gushy love in their heart for God. I love God with their lips. God don't want your lip love. God don't want your false religion. He doesn't want your scraps on Sunday. God says, I require obedience over sacrifice. God always wanted mankind to obey him. He gave Adam and Eve one law. Don't touch that tree. And Satan went after Eve and got her to touch the tree, and man fell into sin. So idolatry is when we lift up ourselves, our family, and we think of them more. What we should be doing is going, God created me for his glory. And Christ came into the world to rescue me from my sin. And now I should turn my whole life and my effort to him because he's the only one who's worthy. That's what it comes down to. Muhammad's not worthy. Buddha's not worthy. New Age isn't worthy. Nothing else is worthy other than Christ. There's nothing else worth living for. because it won't lead to eternal life. Now, if people want to live for this life and live it up and go, I'm going to have a good time, you can do that. But then there's going to be a reckoning, and then there's going to be a separation into weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have to be born again into the family of God. You can't just believe your way there. Even Satan believes. He's not born again. And
you have to do your way there.
You're born again through repentance in what Christ did. And when you're willing to turn from your sin, God will see a willing vessel. He'll give you a new heart and mind. You'll now think different, feel different. And then the fruit that you're born of him is holiness and obedience. You come out of the world. You come out of the church, all the false church systems. You separate yourself, and then you strive in the kingdom, but then you go into the world to proclaim it. And you said, who did Jesus hang out with? Jesus said he came into the world to save sinners. So he was against the religious hypocrites. And he looked to the people that needed a physician, needed healing. So he sat and he ate dinner with the tax collectors, the lowly, the downtrodden. He didn't sin. He didn't party with them. He didn't partake in their sin. But I try to do what he did. I go into the world. I talk to everybody I can talk to. I don't sin. I don't partake in their sin. But I go to meet them, reach them where they are, and call them out with the gospel. That's what Jesus did. To come out. And Jesus said, go sin no more. Sin is living a life separate from God's word and ways. And the Bible has the answer. It shows us the path. He said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. If we're not living by the word of God, what's it going to lead to?
He didn't hang out with a bunch of rich people.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Well, a couple rich guys he hung.
And those are the real sinners.
Yeah.
The best people I've ever met are homeless.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they'll
give you the shirt off their back.
I'll tell you this. I minister to the guy in the gutter.
That's who Jesus hung out with.
Yeah, I minister.
Because that's love.
Yeah, I minister to the guys in the gutter that are addicted to drugs, and I minister to the guys in the million-dollar motorhomes and religious people. I stand outside religious churches, or I stand outside religious events. Do you know who calls the police on me? The homeless guy or the religious people? The religious people.
The religious people.
The religious people call the police on me.
Yep.
And when I'm peaceful.
Every time.
Yeah, when I'm peaceful and I'm just standing out there and just preaching, I'm on public property. They still do it. So it comes down to it's a heart issue. And when your heart's changed,
and honestly,
your life
those
changes.
Those are the ones that go to church
and give a bunch
of donations.
They're hypocrites. Yeah. They're hypocrites.
Yeah.
Jesus told the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector.
They feel bad about their sins. I live in church. They don't.
Yeah. Jesus told a story about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the Pharisee said, I think I'm good. Look at, I got it going on. And the tax collector said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, that guy who cried out for mercy will make it, he'll be justified before the guy that says, I got it going on here. I'm a religious guy. And that's America's problem. You know, it's not God bless America. God's going to judge America. He's going to judge the world, and he's going to judge America. There's a fiery judgment that's coming. My job is to go into the world and tell people that, to warn them that they have to repent and flee from the wrath that's coming. And the only way, the only safe place is to be in Christ, living for him. Lose your life. In Matthew 10, he said you must lose your life to find it. You can't have your life and serve him too. It's like, were you ever married?
Nope.
Never been married. If you were married, you lose your life to serve that person and she serves you. If you get married and you don't lose your life, it doesn't work out good because now you got another woman, she's got another guy, you're selfish, you're both fighting. So you got to lose your life to follow Christ, and that's what it takes. And it's not church. It's surrendering who you are and following the guiding of the Holy Spirit and keeping his word. And the word is our instruction. Doctrine is instruction on how to follow Christ. Without the word, we don't know how to follow him. And it tells us how. And he laid it out for us perfectly. That's what I teach on my website. So and I do it for free.
So for you,
I don't take people's money.
So for you, it's either you take nothing or you take all.
When you say take, what do you mean?
When you leave this planet. And I guess I shouldn't say take.
Yeah, I don't like that term because we can't take anything.
Okay.
The only thing I could take with me is I could maybe take you.
Right.
I could maybe take you. If you repent and you become born again, I could say, he's coming with us.
What? Okay, that's a good example.
That's about it.
So that's why I say...
Your spirit can come, nothing else.
You can't physically take anything.
Nope.
So what do you take?
Well, if you go into eternity, you better have your heart... eyes and
no, that's gone.
Everything. No,
that's gone.
Well, when I say heart and eyes, it means no. In spiritual, no. So the heart, your heart is your intentions is going to live
that's
forever. Your eyes is your
that's
consciousness
your
and your showing. You better have it all on Christ. It all better be Christ. As if Christ isn't your everything, you're not going to make. You're not His. You're not going
to make
it. So Christ has to be
your
everything.
Inner self.
No. Christ is the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in us.
You can't say heart.
Yeah. Oh, no, heart. Yeah, you can. Yeah, heart
it's
is our being.
With you.
It's our soul. I don't mean physical. I'm talking spiritual.
There you go.
I'm talking spiritual.
Okay.
The heart of yourself is your spirit.
Just say spirit.
Your spirit.
Or soul.
Yeah. The heart of yourself
spirit
is your spirit. And
that
you still see. You still see.
When you say heart, I'm like, I don't
you
know.
Still see with spiritual eyes. There was people in the Bible that were dead. And Jesus told a parable, and they could see, but they were dead. They could still see, even though they didn't have physical eyes. So you could still feel, even though you don't have a heart. Jesus said in hell, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth and suffering. You're going to feel, even though you don't have a body.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So you're going to feel all that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So the only thing I can take with me is myself, my soul, given to God. That's going to go with me. And then I can have a small part in preaching the gospel and other people going. But other than that, anything I've labored for on earth as far as material goods, anything else, none of it means anything.
But your experiences,
that's
coming with you.
Yeah, it's not going to do you any good.
It's coming with you.
Then
what's the point?
When you're burning
what's
in
the
hell,
point?
I get a loud voice and it's late, I got to be careful.
What's the point?
When you're burning in hell, you're not going to care about all your good experiences on earth.
We're not talking about hell.
That's where you're going without Christ.
No, Al.
Yeah, that's where you're going without Christ. I love you enough to tell you that.
Beg to differ there.
There's one way. And there's only one way to heaven, and then there's only one other place, and that's hell.
I'm
Jesus
saying,
is a liar.
No.
Are you calling him a liar?
I'm not saying I'm anti-Jesus.
Is he a liar?
He
said heaven or hell.
No. If Jesus.
He said heaven or hell.
Jesus, the Jesus I know.
Oh, well, now you're going to make up your own Jesus outside of Scripture.
Well. It's pretty.
He warned there's many false Jesuses.
Jesus loves to love.
Yeah. Jesus is love, but you know what love
is?
Calling people to repentance and holiness. If you make up your own Savior, He's not going to save you. And Jesus warned us. Last thing, I'm going to let you go. Jesus warned us. Many false Christs have gone out in the world. In John, it tells us many false spirits are out there. Jesus said in the last days, many false Christs will rise saying He is the Christ or saying they're the Christ, and they'll deceive. He's the only true way. He's going to part the sky. His word is the way. And if you make up your own Jesus, it's a false Jesus that can't save you. Ponder that. Check out my website. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to encourage you.
I'd love for you to listen to me.
I'd love to encourage you in the Word of God. Shoot me an email sometime.
All right, brother.
God be praised.
Yep.